of heights to the depths of the sea.
Are you one of those people that is one way at church, but a different way at home and a different person on the job site? Or is your life consistent? See, God wants to bring consistency in and through your lives. You know, who are you? It's a good question, because as we get into the next section in verses 21 through 30, as we look at murder and adultery, Jesus went the outward expression and looked on the heart, on the internal. And remember, we even see this in the Old Testament.
You place the stars in the sky and you know them by.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In our lesson today, Jesus shows the true meaning of the law. This isn't Jesus against Moses. It is Jesus against false and superficial interpretations of Moses. In regard to the law, the two errors of the scribes and the Pharisees were that they both restricted God's commands, as in the law of murder, and extended the commands of God past his intention, as in the law of divorce. Here, Jesus bases his interpretation on the heart and not on the external. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he continues in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5.
All right, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. We've been looking at the fifth chapter. Chapters 5 through 7 are what is known as the Beatitudes. It's also known as the Sermon on the Mount, because as you can see with the picture on the screen that I took, was it 2 years ago now, on the side of the Galilee, as you can see, it's very beautiful. Right around that area is where Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount. And remember, the last couple of weeks, we've been taking our time through this because this is one of the most significant portions, I believe, of the New Testament, is Jesus speaking directly to us concerning our attitudes and the behavior that ought to be exemplified, that we ought to be an example, an ambassador for Jesus, right? And so in that, he gives this sermon to his disciples. And I'll be honest with you, today it's going to sting a little bit, because there's really, Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. He doesn't mince words, and he doesn't need to. And the thing is we are all very much aware of the things that are going on in our own hearts, things that have been going on in the culture for a very, very long time. The devil has done a very great job at convincing people to walk away from God and to follow their own hearts. And do you realize that when you follow your own heart, you're really not following God's heart at all? You're just following the very lowest nature, the nature that we were born with. Yes, we were born with a sin nature. And when we follow our own hearts without any regard to God or his word, then we are operating on the very basest level. And we are apt to get in trouble. And most of us in this room, perhaps all of us, I'm willing to say probably all of us, can attest to that, because we had time in the world. I know that I had 24 years of my life before I came to Christ that I proved God's word to be true, because I made a complete mess of my life thinking that I knew best, thinking that from experience and maybe some others and the advice that other people gave me, even older people, that somehow I could do it right. Somehow I could be good enough to enter the kingdom of God. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because we all have a sin nature. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus and to us this morning, you must be born again. And it's very simple, really. We were born with an old nature that has expressed itself in really horrible ways. But we need a new nature, and you can receive that new nature by simply asking God to forgive you of all of your sins, believing that Jesus died on the cross, that his blood on the cross was sufficient, the very blood of God making atonement for you and I so that we would never see death or hell, but that he would take our place, and he did. He was the intermediary between us and God, Jesus Christ. And he bore that penalty so that we would not. It's really that simple. And when we confess our sin and ask him to come into our life, he will. If you're sincere, he's going to take up residence in your heart. And guess what? Now you are a child of God. You don't have to go through a bunch of loops and jump through rings of fire in the church to somehow get into heaven. You know, it's much simpler than that. If you're honest, all you got to do is simply ask and be willing to acknowledge your sin. And to believe in Christ, everything that he said, everything that he did, everything that he stood for. If you can do that, then welcome to the kingdom of God, because God is not going to leave you. And your experience, don't get hung up on your experience, because some people have a dramatic conversion. Other people, they just kind of knew and they know, and there was nothing dramatic. Don't get hung up on all those things. The main thing is that you believe in Jesus and then get into his word, get into a Bible study, come to the church, be involved in the ministry here. Come on Thursday nights and Sunday mornings as you are, Sunday evenings, and get built up and encouraged. Learn about who this God is and how much he loves you. When I came in 1995, I walked into these doors. It was Good Friday, 1995, and I knew that I was home and I never left. I literally came to probably every service after that, except when I was sick or on vacation. I was here every single time. And I've been growing, and I know God wants to grow you. But see, this whole idea of issues of the heart, and that's why it's so important, because as children of God, if you are a child of God, these things we really need to look at. We can't ignore them. We can't push them under the rug. We have to, especially now, in our culture, in our world, in the history of our country right now that is in a very desperate, desperate place, this world needs to see a church on fire again. Not walking around in judgment and yelling at people and telling them that they got to do this and you got to do that and just browbeating them to death. That's not going to get the job done. You know what would be better? For us just to be smiling and enjoying our God. And being an example, and people are going to take notice. They're going to be like, how can you be smiling? How can you have any kind of assurance when everything is going to pot? And you can say, well, I know where I'm going. What do you mean you know where you're going? Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, because I believe in Jesus. Didn't he say, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life? I believe that. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, then, you know, I got reason to have a big smile like the Cheshire Cat. I've got reason to be joyful. And so do you. Smile. Everybody, one, two, three. I'd love to take a picture of that because that's awesome. You and I, we have the greatest inheritance that the world could ever have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope for heaven. We have this blessed hope that any time now, hopefully this morning before I'm even done, now would be good actually, for the Lord to return for his church. And do you know that you're going up and you're going to have a new body and you're going to live with him for eternity and then you're coming back in his second coming? Does that excite you? This earth that we currently live on, you're going to spend another 1,000 years on it. I hope you're ready for that. But you're going to have a new body. No more sickness, no more cancer, no more knees that need to be replaced, no more hips that need to be replaced, no more mental illness, no more depression, no more tears, no more crying anymore, because Jesus will be on this earth for 1,000 years. And it gets even better than that. After that, he dissolves this current heavens and earth and creates a new heavens and an earth, and you and I are going to inhabit New Jerusalem that he's prepared a place for us. He's been preparing it since the day he ascended. He says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may also be. He's been preparing it. He knows exactly what's going to bless you. And he's preparing that place for you. And we are going to live. That'll be the eternal state. Do you understand? I don't know about you, but I could never deserve this. I could never, ever deserve the love and the things that God has for me and for you. I could never deserve it. But you know what? I don't have to try and work it up. I can't. I simply receive it with a big tears in my eyes, saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life and what you're doing. How could I ever repay you? And he's like, Rob, I've already paid the price. Just worship me. Just worship me and give me your life. Let me do with it more ability than you could ever imagine. And I'm starting to understand now, little by little, the great things that he has for me, the great things that he has for you, and it's just the beginning. It's just the warm-up act, because he's got more to do and more things he's going to do in and through my life and in your life. Now, everybody smile. I'm glad you're smiling, because what I'm going to share with you is going to break your heart, okay? So, and it is. Let's look. We looked at really verses 17 and 18 and 19 and a little bit of 20, and what I'd like to do is we're going to take communion today, so I just want to start right off from the very beginning. Let's look at verse 17. Notice what Jesus says. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And if you remember last week, we looked at all the different scriptures, and there were many more, okay? We just scratched the surface of how Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so he did. He didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. All the things that have been spoken will become fulfilled. And it brings us to verse 19, where we're going to start right now. Notice what he said. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Notice, least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, in other words, who is obedient to those things and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That means it's possible to be a believer and really not being the greatest example. But is that the place that you really want to be? I mean, some will say, well, at least I'm saved. Well, that's true, but you know what? Why flirt with the border? Why flirt with the edge? You know, when you have an assurance of salvation, it is the greatest thing, the greatest feeling that you've ever, and who cares about feelings, honestly, but it is a great feeling to have, to know that I'm right with God, not because of my works, but because of what Jesus did. But why do I want to flirt with that line? What is it in our old nature that we like to get right up to the edge of the cliff and we have to put our toe over? Wherever there's a boundary, human nature, our old sinful nature goes. The line is right there. And then we look over, and kids do it all the time when they're learning. Parents are watching, then pretty soon they're like, don't you do it again. You've seen a kid do that? I used to do that. And sometimes I still do that. Maybe not physically with the lip hanging out, but I can be obstinate in my heart. But hopefully, as time goes on, I'm relinquishing control, no longer being a stubborn mule, but being a willing participant. And how we respond to God's word is important, yes. That includes the Ten Commandments and everything else in the Bible. What does it tell us in Matthew's gospel? Jesus, he tells them, he says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first and great commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yes, all the law and the prophets. Isn't that wonderful to consider? All the law. In fact, if you look at the first four commandments, there are our relationship to God, and the last six commandments are our relationship toward man. And those things are important. And the law and the prophets pretty much is the whole entire word of God. So on earth, when we are obedient and when we're faithful, we may get a job promotion, we may get a raise in salary, and certainly there's blessings in your home, your relationships with your spouse and your children, but there's also rewards in heaven. And that may not mean like a big deal to you right now, but I assure you that when you are in glory, it is going to be a big deal to you. But the Bible tells us that There are rewards in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, says, "For we," notice he includes himself, "for we must all," that means in Greek, it's really wonderful what the word "all" means. You know what it means? It means all. Yeah, so, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat," or the bema seat. Have you ever heard of that term, bema seat? It's not a judgment of whether you're going to heaven or not, but as believers, we are also going to stand before God and give an account for what we have done while we've been saved, while we have Jesus in our heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, Paul says, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss." But notice this, very important, "but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." So that means that there's going to be people in heaven that have done nothing with their relationship. They get saved, they have their fire insurance, and they're very happy, but they continue living their life like God doesn't exist. Now, if they're truly born again, they're going to go up. When they die, or if the rapture occurs, they're going to go to heaven. But their rewards, they're not going to have very many, if at all. I don't know about you, but I want everything he's got for me. Because with those rewards that I am given, I'm going to take them all and I'm going to place them all at his feet and say, "Lord, it's because you were working in me." And of course, he knows this. And that'll be worship, won't it? Just to say, "Lord, all the things that you've given me, I give back to you, because without you in me, none of this would be possible. In fact, I wouldn't even be here if you hadn't have done what you did." So all the glory goes to who? It goes to Jesus Christ. It goes to God. I can't touch it. I can't touch it. Neither would I want to. And I want you to exhort you to give all of your heart to the Lord, to give everything to him, and lay aside, as it tells us in Hebrews, every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you know that you're in a race? There is a race before us, and if you notice something, the older you get, the quicker time seems to go. Isn't it true? I've noticed this in my own life. When I was in my teens, it felt like time was just crawling along. Weeks would go by, and I'm like, "Wow, it feels like a year." Now, a week seems like a year. It just flies by, and I look, and I'm like, "I had no idea. How old am I? I'm 90 years old already." Time is flying. It's just going like that. And those of you who are older know exactly what I'm talking about. But we need to run this race that is set before us. And we look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So living a life of obedience, live a life of obedience and purity. Do you desire righteousness? I hope that you do. I really desire righteousness. I'm tired. I've seen what my flesh can do. I've been around the block a few times. I understand what this old nature is up to and what it can do and what it's capable of. I'm really done with it. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect, because I'm not. I got a lot of work to do. The Lord's got a lot of work to do in me, but I want to live a life of obedience and purity. And I need to starve, and you need to starve and crucify those things in your life that are leading you away from Christ, so that you can live the truly blessed life, the life that Christ wants to have for you. Notice in verse 20 back in our text, he says, "For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And notice that verses 19 and 20 are speaking of believers and their response to God's commandments. Yes, his commandments, the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. All these things, even in the New Testament, are very valid. It doesn't mean since we're born again that we can just go and do whatever we want. "Oh, God will forgive me." Well, if that is your attitude, you've got a really warped sense of grace. because grace is not licensed to continue in sin. No, grace is God forgive when you're being an idiot. And so when I deserve judgment, God says, well, and I confess it, he's free to forgive me. And he does when I confess. But to the disciples, this seemed like an impossibility because the scribes and the Pharisees were the high and mighty ones. They were the ones that everybody looked up to. But Jesus said something really interesting to his disciples. And he said to them, in Matthew 23, he says, therefore, whoever will tell you, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not, meaning they talk a lot of talk, but they don't do a lot of walking what they're saying. And see, that is the difference between you and I. It's the difference between the walking as a Pharisee and walking according to the Lord, right? That's what he wants. God wants us to observe and to do and not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And many people do that. The Bible calls these people hypocrites. They're play actors. And we looked at that last week. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that is one way at church but a different way at home and a different person on the job site? Or is your life consistent? See, God wants to bring consistency in and through your lives. You know, who are you? It's a good question, because as we get into the next section in verses 21 through 30, as we look at murder and adultery, Jesus went beyond the outward expression and looked on the heart, on the internal. And remember, we even see this in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, remember when Samuel was speaking to Saul, he says, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. In other words, God would much rather have obedience than a bunch of bloody sacrifices. He would rather have obedience than sacrifice. Because we can go through the externals. Those are easy. Everybody can do that. You know, it's easy to go through the externals. And even Samuel got stuck in this when he went to Jesse's house, David's father, and God had told Samuel that he was to go to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons to be king in place of Saul. And remember, as he looked on, you know, Jesse had 8 sons, and 7 of them were there before him, and David, the young man, was out in the field tending the sheep. And when Samuel saw Eliab, who was the oldest, he thought, this is the guy. He's tall, dark, and handsome. He's got everything going for him. Lord, this must be the guy. This has to be the guy because he's the oldest. He's good looking. And what did the Lord tell him? He says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance.
That's the end of our lesson for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. website. We're so glad that you could join us today, and in any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call a church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.